The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. And my guest tonight is Victoria Gross. And she's a clairvoyant medium who's been doing readings professionally since 1987. And her background is in tarot, palmistry, mediumship, crystal gazing, and psychometry. She's second-degree Reiki and certified in magnified healing. And tonight we're going to be talking about something I know almost nothing about, which is, it's a good start because I might have a lot of questions, and that's palmistry. And in addition, for us learning about it, some of us, or some of you guys, have sent in pictures of your palms, and Victoria will be giving a short reading about what she picked up from those palms as time allows. All right, so Vicki, this is definitely your show, and I'm going to listen very carefully in case you decide to give me a pop quiz at the end. So, hello.
Hey, Marla. Hello. Thank you for having me on. I always appreciate it and love being on your show. And this is a very interesting topic because our hands are the books of our lives. And so palmistry, when people think of palmistry, they just think of fortune telling. But let's go beyond that because the hands show us so much. They show us our personality, our characteristics, strengths and weaknesses. And there's more to the palm reading to cryometry than just reading the lines. You know, we read everything. We read both hands. You have to read both hands to get a complete picture unless the person has one hand. And I don't say that in jest. I'm just saying if mm-hmm. you know, sometimes that does happen, then we can read that whole picture. But with both hands, we want to get a complete picture of what's going on in our lives. So we not only read the lines, and the lines can change as we change because that's the nerve endings from the brain to the hand. But we read the shapes of the hands, the lengths of the fingers, the palms, the fingernails, the back of the hands, the flexibility, the mount. There's just a myriad of so much information in our hands, and that's just putting it lightly.
Yeah, so what? I'll interrupt you for just one second, because what's the most popular misconception about palmistry? Like, you know, maybe only gypsies do it, you know, or that kind of thing. It's just, I know there's so much more to it. Yeah.
Yeah. There absolutely is a lot more to it. And I think that's the misconception, is that it's just fortune telling. And it's not. You know, hand analysis is a good science. And we even do the fingerprints and the palm prints. I think two of the major misconceptions, and there's many more though, would be, how many children am I going to have?
Mm-hmm.
And
when am I going to die?
Am I going to get married? Yeah, when am I going to die? You know. Mm-hmm. So usually when I get those questions, which is, you know, almost all the time, mm-hmm. When someone asks me when they're going to die, I'm just like, well, someday, because we all do. You know, I'm not going to see that in the hand, and a palmist isn't going to see that in the hand. Mm-hmm. And as far as children, I personally don't read children in the hand. This is why, because those children lines can show up as adopted children. They could show up as miscarriages, abortions. They could show up as nephews or nieces. So one has to be very careful when, you know, if they're saying, oh, you can have three kids. Mm-hmm. I had my first palm reading by a very elderly lady back when I was like 19. And she was really wise because she said, you know, I see two children in your life, but they may not be yours. And I've never had kids, but I had two nephews that were very close to me growing up, you know. Mm-hmm. So those showed up. And another really misconception that people have is how many times will I be married? How many times? What? Mm-hmm. So when we look at relationship lines, we want to look at them very carefully. I've seen relationship lines very faint on people who had been married for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And that just shows that there wasn't a whole lot of emotion in that marriage. And then, you know, it could be, you know, the person has a relationship, they've broken up with that person, and they've come back with that person. So it's really dangerous, I think, to say, oh, you're going to get married two or three times, when that may not be the case at all. So there's, for, and again, you know, for every positive in the hand, there's a negative, and for every negative, there's a positive. So when we're reading the hand, we do read it as a complete picture.
Mm-hmm. And see, I didn't realize when you know, we were talking about doing this show that you needed to read both hands because there was so much more to it. And, I mean, it was just like, oh, I didn't know that. It was just like, here's my palm, read it kind of thing. And, you
right.
know, when you're a kid, too, like you said, when you were 19, you had your first palm reading. I don't know what I read when I was a kid, but it said to kind of make a small fist, and then in the bend of your hand, there'll be like wrinkles as to how many kids you're going to have, right? And, of course, everybody at that age, oh, look, I'm having six kids. Look, I'm having four kids. And I'm like, you got wrinkles. It's wrinkles. Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's funny, I just wanted to mention this, because I started doing readings professionally in 87, though I didn't start palmistry until probably about 91. But then I reconnected with a childhood friend back in Ohio through Facebook, and she's like, don't you remember when we were real little and we were sitting on your porch and you were reading everybody's palms? And I'm like, really? So I think it's for the love of mine forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, fortunately with the internet, there's a lot of information out there, but unfortunately there's a lot of misinformation too. There are three major schools of palmistry, but there's many more, but there's three major. There's Chinese palmistry, Indian palmistry, and Western, which is like English and you know, the Americans. So I always would tell my students, you know, pick whatever system you're going to work with and stay with that system. I do Western palmistry, and I don't know a lot about Indian palmistry or Chinese palmistry because I, you know, those are two different systems I'm not going to use. And I was looking up something today on the internet, and I just thought, oh, I've never seen this. Let me see this. And different systems will have different words for what I use. So it's really important for someone to get a system and work with that. Now, as you know, with tarot or anything, you know, especially with tarot, I always say, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't need to learn anything. I use my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very traditionalist, and I'm like, you really have to have the structure. And like reading the cards, it's like knowing the fundamentals is like the outline of a coloring book, and mm-hmm. our intuition is the crayons. It's the same way with palmistry. It's we really do need to have a system to base off of, and then we use our intuition. And our intuition is only going to be one third of what we're using. So, you know, the skill and the knowledge is really important to have. And like tarot, people choose not to do that. Or learn that because it does take a long time. Like mm-hmm. any system, I mean, you have to study and study. Mm-hmm. And I know if I'm not doing it regularly, it's like, oh, what was that? No matter how many hands I've read. you know, it's like, okay, what is this mark? And I've had probably over 50 different books. I've given half of them away, so I have my main library. But we need a source, you know, and I have to look up different things in different books. So, and I prefer the older books because it seems like now there's new signs or new markings and new things, and I'm not too sure about that. I like the tried and true stuff, you know. It's like, this is a new line that they're calling. Well, what makes it that? So I think we just have to have caution with that. But I think the one of the main misconceptions is that people think palmistry is just about reading the lines, you know, the three major lines.
That's all anybody knows about are the three major lines, you know. I mean, because that's what you hear about, and that's what we see in the media. You know,
right?
You're holding out your hands, and there she is. She's putting the three lines right in the middle, and that's it. But when you and I were talking earlier in the week, now see, this is something you and I've never talked about, and you know, we've known each other 100 years,
and previous lifetimes.
That too, yeah. That's why sometimes, you know, we're partners in crime. We probably were.
Definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, we were talking, and I forget what you were talking. Oh, you were talking about that some people have a pentagram etched in their palm, whether they know it or not. And I was reading, well, that's a sign of a witch. And then I'm sitting here and I'm looking for the pentagram on mine, and all I'm seeing is 1,000 little X's. And so that's when we started talking about, does age make a difference? Because it's probably all my skin getting all crinkly and old or something that is making all those X's that I never used to know there. Plus, I don't have a pentagram. So, you know.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's back up just for a second, because
sure.
You mentioned the three major lines.
Mm-hmm.
They're the life, the head, and the heart. And we'll talk about those later. So let's talk about the pentagram. Mm-hmm. Now, I've read a lot of poems all these years, and I've only seen two. One was on my hand, and one was on a hand that you sent me. And it's not, you know, I did go to, you know, read that same information that's a sign of the witch. And I'm like, I don't think so. You know, it really is kind of like, what does that mean to us? To me, that's just a sign of magic and protection, you know, and it could be on someone who has no affiliation with witchcraft or Wicca or is a pagan or anything, you know. So I think it's really a personal thing. And the one on my hand and the one that I saw that you sent me, they're not formed perfectly. And I know mine comes and goes. Sometimes it's deeper and, you know, I can see it more than others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if people read that and they're like, oh, that's a sign of a witch, or I don't have that. What does, you know, am I not a witch? It's like, I think that's false. That has nothing to do with being a witch or not. So
I
would
feeling
take regard
left out. Yeah.
I know just, you were. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I was pouting for a minute. Yeah. So.
No. And you know, and really when people say that, I think that's a little one-up, you know, kind of situation. It's like, wow, look at me, you know.
Well,
so,
yeah, I'd brag about it if I had one. Jeez, I mean, look at me. I'm a witch. Here. I'm not a fraud. Here's the sign. Look at it. Yeah. So,
And, you know, the other point that you were making was on the age, and age does play a part of it. And also we need to take into consideration, is there any deformities? Is there any physical conditions that would be different? Like, I have a broken ring finger on my right hand. So that's going to be bent. And so when people read that, they can't read that like, oh, wow, that bent, that means something. It's like, no, it's broken. It's never going to go back straight. So we do really need to be cautious when we, you know, are looking at the hand.
Yeah. And also, you know, I had a question earlier in the week about, does gender matter in reading palms?
No, and that's a very valid question, because, you know, people do ask that, and gender does not matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to tell You know, we're not going to be able to tell the gender in a hand. So if someone would to send a picture, we're not going to be able to tell the gender of that hand.
Right. I was going to say, unless they have nail polish, but that doesn't fly anymore anyway.
That doesn't mean anything. Well, you know, and that's another thing, because a lot of people, you know, have nail polish, their nails polished, or a lot of people have acrylic nails. Well, one of the things that we do look in palmistry is the nail shape and the condition of the nails. Mm. So, you know, that we can't do anymore if they have acrylic nails. And if you recall, I don't know if they do that now, but I know, you know, when I was a little girl, my mom always told me that, yeah, in the hospital, they always know how you're doing by your nails. Are they getting blue? What do your nails look like? Because you can tell a lot of health issues in the nails. So that's why before surgery, they would always, unpolish the nails. I don't know if they do that now or what.
Yeah, I think they still do. And part of it, too, is if you don't have polish on and you press your nail down, if you don't see that little white thing and then it goes back to pink, that means you're anemic. We used to do that in the office all the time to check for anemia, just a really quick check for anemia. And so,
that's great. And that's the beauty of the hand is the health in the hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not just the palm, it's also the top of the hand, too. So if you're talking about the health of the hand, people always wonder what makes ridges in your fingernails. You know, some people get ridges in certain places as they grow out. And I was always told, not medically, but from just people, that if you have like a ridge in your fingernail, that depicts a time when something was very difficult for you. It was a very hard time, an upsetting time, and it did that. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I keep thinking,
Well, you know, a lot of it, you know, I don't want to go into too much of it, the health aspect, but a lot of it could be, you know, arthritis or something else, you know, or skin condition, you know. So you're right, you know, and like the little white dots on there, those appear, you know, because our nails grow out every 6 months. So where that is, that's a time of trauma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, when someone comes to us to have their hand analyzed, we look at, you know, the first we're going to look at the back of the hands, and then we're going to look at, you know, when they put their hands down on the table, the spacing of the fingers, when they hold their hands up, how flexible their hands are going back. That shows us a lot. And you did send me a picture, let me hear, of Elijah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that, and I know, and we'll talk about the people that are in the chat room. But what I meant is, like, his fingers are really spaced far apart. Well, that's a very, you know, outgoing person. So that wouldn't, you know, when I'm reading somebody like that, I know that they're going to be more open to me. Mm-hmm. If someone's got their fingers really tight held together, I know they're going to be a little bit more close to my information. So we look at a lot of spacing and different things like that. And then we also look at the shape of the palm. The texture of the hand, the texture of the skin, the shape and length of the palm and the fingers, the color of the hand. So there goes a lot that we look at before we even get to reading anything in the hand.
Is there something that you always look for first that seems to be the most important point, or does something maybe jump out at you and guide you there? I mean, how do you get started?
Well, first of all, you know, after I do that initial thing, that I'm looking at the backside and how the hand is placed and the spacing, and when I turn the hand over, the first thing I ask them is if they're right or left-handed. Mm-hmm. There are two schools of thought. One school is that the right hand is your present and future, and your left hand will be your past. I don't do that school of thought because I'm left-handed. So use whatever dominant hand, that's your present and future, and then your non-dominant is what you've brought into this life. But again, you're going to read those together. So that's the school of thought. So the first thing I would do is I would go ahead and ask them which hand is dominant. And basically, you know, it takes a while to do a reading. You know, you're talking about, at least a good hour. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's that first, maybe 5 or 10 minutes that the palmist isn't saying anything because she or he is looking at what's going on in the hand. And so I think the first thing I feel like I would do with tarot, whatever would pop out at me, mm-hmm. That's the first thing I'm going to read.
Yeah, and that's, I think a lot of us that do any kinds of readings, things pop out that, you know, if there's a way to do it, we kind of override it because something just jumps out because it needs our attention. It calls to us. And those are the important points.
Yeah. And most people really, what they're wanting to know are what the three major lines are. Because I'll just tell them up front, I'm not doing kids and I'm not doing your marriages. Okay, so have as many kids as you want and have as many marriages that you want. But we will examine your depth of relationship because the lines in the hand, the deeper the lines are, the more blood that's flowing through them, the more energy that they have. If the lines are very faint, that person doesn't have a whole lot of energy. And usually if I'm looking at the hand, like say maybe one has a hollow, the palm is hollow in the middle, mm-hmm. I'll start with that because that shows an indication that that person just went through some energy depletion within the last year or two. And it could be a health or a mental or taking care of someone, whatever it was, it depleted their energy. So either it be in the past or that. But not everybody's going to have that because that's not everybody's situation. But usually people want, to start with the lines and stuff. So I'll start, if nothing jumps out, I'll just go with the head and the lifeline because when they're intertwined together, that means the person has been very interdependent with their family. Their family's had a lot of influence on them. Sometimes you'll see the headline and the lifeline really separate. That means that person's very independent from their family. They're a free thinker.
Mm. I'm just looking at the depletion in my palm. Sorry. I'm seeing everybody in the chat room. When you're saying something specific, everybody's now, whoops, look at the hand. But that's a good thing because you need to get to know your hand, right? Right.
Well, I do because one of the things too is like, I think when you sent me a picture of your hand and said, you have when we have a lot of fine lines in our hand, that means, we're really creative people, but we're burning the candle at both ends and all our energy can get spent here and here and here and here. Mm-hmm. So if I see that, my hands are looking, whoa, there's too many fine lines, I'll clean up my act. I'll clean up my life. I'll clean up my emotions and my thinking. Mm-hmm. If somebody has just really a few fine lines, so they may not be as creative or they may be just really well directed, they have a really good focus and they don't get distracted. So, again, we want to read things that would balance out. I don't want to say to someone, I see you've got a lot of fine lines, but, you're burning the candle at both ends and you're really distracted when something else in the hand may not show that. So, we have to really read the whole thing.
Okay, so I have a question about your lifeline because that might be another misconception that everybody looks at their lifeline and if it's short, they think they're going to die early and if it's long, they're going to live a long life. So clear up.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Clear that out, please.
I've read elderly people that have had very short lifelines. The lifeline is just your vitality. And it does, we do age on our lines. We do show age, it's in segments of 7 years. But basically, it's going to show the vitality and energy of the person. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing to do with how long you're going to live. And, again, that's like when you get the death card in the tarot deck, people are like, oh, am I going to die? It's like, well, yeah. One day you will. So what?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? But just live happily. Okay. Enjoy life. But it's just like, to give you an example, I remember, you know, when I got divorced back in, I think, 91 or the early 90s, you couldn't even see any lines on my hand because it was really traumatic for me, and it was depleting my energy. I mean, my hand, it was like I was so vulnerable. But as time went by and I got my personal power back and I, you know, work on myself constantly, you know, I have really good lines in my hand. Now, I've just, you know, in my right hand, because that's not my dominant hand, my lifeline is a little weaker, but it's hollow because I just got through, you know, as you know, caregiving mm-hmm. my mother for a couple of years, and she passed right. away in March. So my left hand, it's a lot stronger. So, you know, it's our book to who we are, and I think it's beautiful because the lines will change as we change. And we can really look at ourselves and say, yeah, I need to clean up my act, or mm-hmm. I'm doing okay.
All right. Kathy sent in a question that's kind of interesting about the lines disappearing or changing. She said, if they do, does it make a difference in an outcome of some sort?
Well, your three major lines are not going to change that dramatically, but they can change. And again, you know, because all the nerve endings are from the brain are in your hand. So as you change, your lines will change. And, yeah, it can change the outcome. So I think, you know, again, we don't want to read the – and, you know, I mean, the future is not written in stone. So we don't want to read something that it is written in stone. If I look at my headline and I'm like, oh, okay, I have a writer's fork. I'm a writer, you know, am mm-hmm. I pursuing that? Or I have a lawyer's fork. Well, someone's like, I don't want to be a lawyer. That's okay. You don't have to be. Mm-hmm. You're a very objective person. So that's kind of deviated from her question, but yeah, it can. But, you know, I don't think it's the best thing to do is to read the future like, oh, this is it. You know,
right.
So
well,
the outcome is just in our personality and characteristics.
Yeah, we have
and our
some
strengths
say
and our
that.
Weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All
but,
right.
Yeah, it can.
We've got like 2 minutes before the break, but one other question. Do scars on the palm count for anything?
Yeah. You know, I was always taught that wherever the scar is, you know, look at where it is and what it is. And yeah, you know, because that's a little mark on that area that could cause a little bit of interruption, let's say.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't give it too much credence, but yeah, they can.
Okay, one more really quick one. Do the lines change? Like maybe if your job required using your hands a certain way, I guess does the physical activity change your lines and change your future? Maybe I don't know.
Well, again, it's the nerve endings from the brain. I think it would be more from the brain that would be changing the lines than the job.
Okay.
Because it's all interior. It's all interior work.
All comes from within. All right. Okay, we are going to take a break. So sit tight, and I'm going to dangle a carrot here. We're going to do three readings that I can see so far, and these people are in the chat room, and one of them has a pentacle in her palm. All right, I'm leaving you at that. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Don't go away. There's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages.
From Haunted Road Media comes an exciting new novel by author Marla Brooks. Soul Connection, a deadly obsession. Two lost souls, ripped apart by murder in another century, find each other again in the present, only to discover that the murderer has followed them through time. Can their love save them, or will history repeat itself? Find out in this captivating new novel by Marla Brooks. Soul Connection, a deadly obsession. Available now on Amazon.com and at BarnesandNoble.com.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, perhaps. It takes two to tango. Well, now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening in to Stirring the Cauldron. I just wanted to give you a quick heads up if you don't already know about the free weekly Witch's Oracle deck readings that I post on my website every Monday. Now, let me answer the age-old question before you ask it, which is, well, how do I know it's for me? And the answer is pretty simple. If you weren't meant to see it, you wouldn't know it was there. So if you're curious about what the week has in store for you, pop on over to marlabrooks.com every Monday and scroll down on the homepage, and there it will be.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Yeah, welcome back. I'm here with my friend Victoria Gross, and today we're talking about palmistry. And earlier in the week, as I posted the banner for this week's show, I invited people to come, well, not to come, to send us pictures of their palms. And so we're going to do a reading on a couple of people, two or three people that did send in pictures. And if you guys in general have questions, you know, send them along, please, because it's a really fascinating subject. And as I said earlier, maybe there's a lot of misconceptions. So, okay, Victoria, who do you have in your hand?
Who do I have in my hand? Well, we got a lot of great pictures that were sent in. And so because of the time element, we're just going to do a couple. And I'm not going to read the whole hand. I'll just pick out a couple things. That way we can talk about them and, you know, have a little bit more time. So let me get my, and even though it's on my computer, I still have my magnifying glass. But the one thing you need is a great magnifying glass with a light on it. because, yeah, and this is Patsy, right?
Yep, Patsy.
And,
yep.
So, yeah. And so she's the one that has the pentagram on her hand. Mm-hmm. And it's on her left hand, and it's basically in the same area that it's on my left hand. Hmm. So, and I believe, let me read here, she's right-handed, correct? I think that's what
think
it was.
So, yeah.
She's right-handed. Yeah. So, I thought that was really interesting. And she's got the healing stigmata under her little finger, which is the Mercury finger. And that is three or four little lines, vertical lines. And that just means that she's a healer in some way or the other. And then on her Jupiter finger, which is the forefinger, the index finger, she has a square, which is called the teacher square. So she's got all of those elements. So it just tells me that she's probably working in the mystical, magical realm. Again, I'm not going to call that pentagram a witch's sign at all, which a lot of people would, or maybe some people would say we're from the devil when we have that in our hands. But that's a whole other point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look at her her headline. And this is the thing, too, is like her headline kind of fades, and it doesn't really go down into the Mount of Luna, which is that's the side, not the thumb side, but the other side. That's her imagination and our psychic ability, though it is pretty red there, so that means it's really active. So one of the things about her headline, I mean, it's not straight, it does curve, but it gives her somewhat of a balance, too. She's got a lot of fine lines, so this is a pretty creative person and really kind of looking, you know, doing a lot of things, probably sometimes maybe too many. Let me just switch to her left. I mean, that's her left. Let me go to her right hand. I got to switch. Okay. Now, her right hand is, that's interesting right there, because there is her headline against straight, and she has a rider's fork under her little finger, the Mercury finger, so she's a rider. And then her fate line comes from Spirit, that Mount of Luna. The fate line can come anywhere in the hand, and it can stop and start and change. So she's got a couple fate lines here, so it just tells me that she's done a couple different things at the same time. And it could even be school and work, things like that, and it stops and starts. So, and her lifeline is pretty far out from the thumb, so she's probably an extroverted person. I didn't get to see the top of the fingers, but I look at the base, and then we have the mounts, and I won't go into what the mounts just add extra energy and at the base of the fingers and the other places in the palm. But, you know, she's very, I would say, she's not going to let people know who she is right away. Let me go back to the other one. So those fingers are pretty close now. On her left hand, she probably was more open about who she is than she is now. So, again, that's just part on her left hand. The side that is towards the thumb, which the thumb represents the will, is more open than her interior side. So, you know, she probably, you know, could keep her interior self a little bit more away from people than how she shows herself to society. You know, it's like our rising sign and our sun sign, you know, it's how mm-hmm. we relate to the community and then who we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You pretty much nailed her. And okay. She said so in the chat, yeah, because she said she's a witch, she's a nurse, she's a writer, I mean, whatever. It scrolled up too fast, good. But yeah, so that's perfect.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, and it's good to get the feedback.
She said she's amazed. There you go. Yes, well, you amazed somebody.
You.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't scare anybody this time. You amazed them. No, you don't scare people. You don't scare me.
That's amazing.
The only time I was with you and I got scared, I got to just run off the subject for a minute. We were at Farmer's Market, and across the street there was this place that we needed to go that was like the original Adobe or something. We were kind of scoping it out to maybe do it in one of my books, because for those of you who don't know, Vicki was one of my teammates and one of the persons that helped me write those books, because she's amazingly mediumistic and all that. But anyway, we go across the street to the oldest Adobe in Los Angeles, or not Los Angeles, in the area. And we just kind of, the gate was open and we're walking down this path and we're just da-da-da-da-da, look at the old building. And all of a sudden we hear this dog start snarling and barking. And then another dog started snarling and barking, and you never saw two witches fly out down the street behind a fence. Then we ran really quick because somebody let the dogs out on us, and it was just lucky. So that's one time I was scared with you, but other times we're fine.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I purposely forgot about that, and we didn't even have our brooms, and we did good.
That's just the hard part. We were actually on foot. So, yeah, that's pretty scary. All right. I digress.
Okay.
Let's go to the next reading. Who you got?
Okay. Who do you
How about Patty?
Did you say Barbara? Or Patty?
Yeah, either one. Yeah. Well, you're going to read both of them, so flip a coin.
Yeah, I'm just flipping in my file here because I put in my file. So let me see where they're at. And, okay, there's Patty, so I'll read her, and then I'll read Barbara. So, let's see. Let's go with the right hand. I learned that which is right and which is left. You just have to look where the thumb is. Okay, let me see. Let me try to, I should probably rotate that. Okay. Well, what I like with this, see, now this is a good example, and we got so many good different examples, so this was a good one to pick out. Her fingers are all spaced out when she, you know, put them up. So that means that she's a really open person. She's easygoing. And now it is kind of faint, so I don't know if it was just the picture. You know, this wasn't the easiest one to read because it's light. But with that, let me just go one more here. And she's right-handed, I think I put down or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's right-handed. That I would say, too, that she probably is a little bit more fragile person. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying the energy level. But again, it may be with what I, because of the light on when she took the picture too. But she doesn't have a lot of fine lines. At least it doesn't look like from the photograph. And she has a straight, let's see here. Okay, let me go back to the other one. On her right hand, she has a straight, fate line, and it's coming straight up the middle of her hand. So it means that she's pretty, you know, she has a sense of direction. She's pretty focused on what it is that she does. And her hand, her headline goes down pretty far over into the Mount of Luna, but doesn't reach down. And so she thinks a lot, and I would say she probably overanalyzes everything. And then she's got this nice heart line. So she's got a good balance between that. I would say, too, that, you know, she has this love of music and art. Does she, does that fit her? And then she's got her headline with a fork on it. So still, she comes from spirit. Her, you know, she is supposed to do something with a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm. That part fits. Like, yeah.
Okay. Okay, because that when that comes down, yeah. And I can't, because it's kind of faint in the picture, I can't see, like, if she's got any squares or any markings. But when I look at her hands, they're really, it's a nice, she's open. And again, she doesn't want to be too open. And I think on this one, let me see the back. Okay, that doesn't show the thumb. Yeah, that's good. It's good. I would say probably, too, on the thumb, because that's the will and reason. Probably, you know, she could work a little bit on her willpower a little bit, but she's got good hands, too. All of these hands are good. You know, they're good, steady hands. And then I think that's it, because this one's a little bit harder to read because it's light.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then that was Patty. So
yeah, and well, let me ask, Barbara. Yeah, but before you do that, ahead. Let me ask you, does the shape of the hand, I mean, like the palm, the shape, some people have rounded hands, some people have square hands, some people have, you know, short, stubby fingers, some people have long, you know, just curious as to if the shape of the hand, because, you know, they talk about the shape of the foot. This has been going on Facebook. They show you different shapes of feet. And, mm-hmm. you know, it means that you're Celtic or you're a Roman or you're, you know, something like that. So,
well, the shape of the hand does. Yeah, there's different categories. There's what we call, we have like six or seven categories. We have a square hand, a conic hand, which is more of like the actor. We have a psychic hand, which people are like, oh, I want that. And it's like, no, you don't. You don't want a pure psychic hand because you need to be in a monastery. You know, we have the philosophical hand. We have the spatula hand, which is more of the adventurous type. And then we have the mixed hand, which is mainly most of us. Most people have a majority of mixed hands. They may have a square hand with spatula fingers or philosophic fingers and spatula fingernails. So it all really does matter. We do look at the shape of the hands and the palms and the size and the fingers and the shapes of the fingernails. So yeah, they all do matter. And then there's something called an elementary hand, which I've only seen one, and you don't really want to see that. That's a really base person. Anything, people like that aren't going to come to you for readings. It's just I study hands. You know, I can look at somebody's hands across the aisle and I can see them, but it's taken years of study. So that's a really base person. Rarely will you see that.
What, for example, type of hand did Patty have as compared to some of the others?
Let me go back to her.
Because I never thought about that. I mean, I noticed when when people sent them, they all were slightly different in certain ways, but I didn't really know that it made a difference. Like, I look at my hand and my palm, it's square, you know?
Like, I think there was one person and she had the spatula hand, but this is a nice square hand, you know? This is a long palm. So I would, you know, with this hand, I mean, and she's got this, I think this is more of a nice square hand. And she's got, if you look at her finger, like just on the forefinger, it looks like it's square on the top, and then the other fingertips are round. So, you know, those, again, are different. A square fingertip, you know, the energy comes in a lot harder. The round one is more balanced. So I think that's more of a square hand. And then there was one that you sent me, which is more of a spatula. Now, Patsy's is a mixture of, you know, square, and then she's got more of a round on the side. So it's not a round hand and it's not a square, but it's a mixture of different things. And I would say if she turned it over, that's when you're going to really see the shape of the hand is when it's flat, not from the palm so much, but when it's turned over. And so even though hers looks a little wide, that's a kind of like a psychic base on that. Again, a pure psychic hand would be very fine lines, very soft and straight, and that's, you know, that person has no filter whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We don't want that.
Okay. Sorry, it just came into my head. So now we can attack Barbara.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Barbara, let me open hers. Okay. Let me go. All right, let's see. Okay. Let's see. Give me a second here. Kind of look. She's, again, you know, she's got a very long headline. And so she's a thinker. I'm on her right hand. She's a thinker. And then it shows that there's like a little break and then it starts again. So I would say probably around the age of, you know, 63, you know, 43 was an important time, but I'd say 63, 64, 5, 6, 7. And again, we do time in seven-year increments, that there's going to be a change in her way of thinking or a change in how she's doing things. A very big change. And her heart really, I would say sometimes it's really hard for her to tell between her heart and her head. On her right hand, they're close together, and on the left hand, they're close together. She's got a great fate line on her left hand. It goes straight up to her Apollo finger, and that's, her Saturn finger. So I'm sure, though I can't see it from here, that she probably would have like a square on her Mount of Jupiter, that's the index finger, because with that straight line, she's a leader. And then on her left hand, her headline goes way down. So she, you know, she's very intuitive and a thinker. She loves, you know, beauty, aesthetics, things like that. And the other things that, you know, don't show up on the pictures like this sometimes is like the Ring of Solomon, which would be, you know, the Ring of Wisdom, or the Girdle of Venus, which is added extra energy to things. So, but she's got a nice Apollo line. That's a nice sun line. That's a money line. I know every time I tell someone that, they're like, really, where is it? I'm like, it's there. So she has the potential. And I'd say probably the age of 43 to 45, there was a change in her life, change of direction.
Okay, some of it I know about, some of it I don't, but what I do know is you were right on again with that.
Thank you. It's always good to have that feedback.
Yeah, and there isn't any in chat because they're talking, but I mean, that's pretty good. There's another question from the chat room. Do you read elements like earth, fire, wind, and water from palms?
There is a system. There's the five elemental system that reads that. And I do include that with mine, like in my book that I did for my class. It's not a published book. It would be for my class. Like if I would do the philosophical hand, I would put that also as the air hand. So I don't read like the, say, oh, this is an air hand or this or that. I go with more of the, that's the subcategory for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
You know, but it is all, yeah, it's fair.
When you, because you're into so many different things. I mean, you know, with the tarot, with the mediumship, with all these things, that has to kind of come into play when you're reading palms, in a sense, I would think, because there, you've got so much learning about so many different metaphysical aspects that probably does make a difference, doesn't it, to some point?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, and again, we have astrology, you know, because
yes,
the fingers are astrology. And then we have on the mount of Venus and the mount of Luna, the mount of Neptune, you know, the upper and lower Mars, the plane of Mars. So astrology plays a lot in it. And then, again, you know, I name the hand, and then as a subcategory for me, I will list the element. But, and I keep that as a separate category because it's too confusing to, like, you know, I'm just better off with the conic and stuff like that. Like the square hand would be an earth sign, you know, so I do that. But there are, but that's kind of, so I think some of my teaching has crossed over, you know, I use a little bit different elements and stuff. But another thing that's really important too, and is to realize, like with foot reflexology, you know, where is that in the hand too? You know, you because on your amount of Venus, you're going to have more, like for women or for men, you're going to have more sexual issues if there's a sexual problem or something like that. You know, you can tell, you want to know where the organs are in the hand, just like with foot reflexology.
Right. There's just so much deeper into it. And, you know, it was interesting when you said that, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg on the readings that we do, because it would seem that one reading would have taken up the whole hour, the complete reading, right? More or
absolutely.
Less?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, so it could even go longer. But I like keeping, you know, a reading at an hour, because after that there's so much information that it's just too hard to assimilate, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why it's always, you know, now everybody has cell phones, so they can record it. You know, I mean, I used to record all my readings, but nobody, you know, you don't buy those cassette tapes anymore. You just record it on your cell phone. So always record a reading, because there's so much information, you know, to do. And if someone wants to learn palmistry, just take each section by itself. Don't try to figure out everything all at once. And again, there are some really good books, and there's good teachers, and then, you know, you want to use discernment in all your studies, because there's a lot of a counterbalance of or information that goes against each other. One is directly with the heart line, where it begins or ends. Some people say it begins under the index finger and goes out. Some people say it begins under the little finger. I was always taught it goes under the little finger. You look at the blood flow. So it depends on your teaching.
Right, and belief systems, yeah. Okay, one more quick question. Ouch, the cat just bit me. Sorry about that. and it's from Patty. She said, I know intuition plays a big part in card reading. How much does it play in reading palms, if any?
Well, I think it does. Again, I think it's the color of the coloring book, you know, the system is the outline is the system that we have, our knowledge, and our intuition is the crayons that color it in. You know, I would say a third of it, you know, you definitely want to know what these are, you know, all the markings and everything. So like anything, I mean, but I don't think anybody has to be intuitive to be a good card reader or a good palmist.
No.
You know, as long as you know your system, you've got it down. I mean, I've had good readings like that. You know, I would probably be more wary to have someone read my cards or palms that just did it intuitively without knowing the system, but that's just me.
No, so,
but you definitely want to have intuition. Yeah.
Well, it comes through even if you don't want it to. I mean, doing any kind of reading, it does. And, I mean, it's just a natural flow in some people. So you use it in conjunction with whatever modality you're using for divination. You know?
Absolutely.
And sometimes you don't even know it's that. I mean, we do things we don't know. It's like one day you and I were talking for a very, very long time, back and forth. You were over here. And we're talking. And then you turned to me and you said, thank you for the reading. And did you see the look on my face? I went, huh? I thought we were just talking, you know. But apparently things were coming out of my mouth that, you know, needed to come out. And it wasn't just because we were chatting. But that was the first time anybody ever said that. And I didn't realize that I do that. But I was like, oh, yeah. So, you know, I learn a lot from you. I do.
Oh, and vice versa. I learn a lot from you. And, you know, I learn a lot from my students and questions like this. And it's like, you know, we want to have our intuition and we want to have the knowledge also. You know, I mean, I always say I felt that I was better medium not knowing I was a medium. I would do these enchanted circles not knowing I was doing mediumship and be fine. And if someone comes to me and they sit down and they face me face to face and they ask me a question, I'm like, but I eventually do it, but it scares me. I'm like, oh. So it's what you said. It just comes through us because that's who we are.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got to wrap up. If anybody, I didn't ask you this before, but do you, do palmistry readings like remotely and things like that?
Yeah, you know what? They could go to my Facebook site, Gateway to the Unknown, and if they have any questions about my services or anything, they can just contact me there, and we can go from there.
Okay, and then there were a lot of people that we left out, so I think we need you to come back and kind of catch up on the ones that you have. Because they deserve to have their readings done as well. So I'll check my calendar and we'll do that. But in the meantime, I hope you're safe from the fire because I'm looking out the window and it doesn't look so good out there. It's not good.
I'm good. You know.
Okay.
And thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to do your show, and I love your audience. They're great, and their questions are wonderful.
Yeah, aren't they? They're really, really good. I'm very blessed. Yes. All right.
Yes,
well, until
are.
Next time, everybody, and thank you all for joining us. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, have a great evening, and blessed be to you, Marla. Talk to you soon.
Okay, and to everybody else, blessed be, and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.